Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
Welcome to Family is the Answer, an adoption and foster care podcast. I'm Karina Kuna Henson, Managing Director for Ruhe Foundation. Together with Podcast Network Asia, we're here to share resources to inform you and stories to inspire you about adoption and foster care. Hope you enjoy listening. All right. Hi.
Hi, Karina.
Hi, Neil.
Hi, Christelle. Just a quick introduction. With us today are two friends of ours. We actually go to the same church, and I got the privilege of hearing about your story a couple of years ago, actually. And at that point, you guys were living in the UAE.
Yes.
Looking for someone who could help you navigate the adoption process. And somehow you found Ruhe Foundation.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad, you know, we got to know each other and we got to see your journey actually from start to finish, because they're sitting here today as missionaries under Every Nation Ministries. And today they're actually celebrating almost a year of being parents to your son, Tovial. And we invited them to share a little bit about their adoption journey. And I wanted to hear specifically about your adoption journey, because I think what was so unique about it was that you did a domestic adoption, meaning adopted as Filipinos in the Philippines. But at the time that you started the process, you were actually living abroad. You were OFWs at that time in the middle of the pandemic, on top of it all. So maybe would it be okay if we just start by getting you guys to share a little bit about that journey? How did it start? How did you first become open to the idea of adopting, so much so that you reached out to Ruhe Foundation to help you see how that could be possible?
So actually, it started when we were still singles. So we're already open to the concept of adopting. But of course, when we got married, we wanted to have our biological children first.
Right.
So we did try it. So we kind of shelved the idea of adoption.
Okay.
And then we were already like 3 years already, right? Married that time. Then after the many, many trips for fertility workup in the hospital. So it's not working. So it's like in one of those trips, it's like God impressed to me that one day we're going to parent for a purpose. And at that time, I don't really understand, you know, what parenting
what that
for
really
a
meant.
But what that meant. And so we agreed that, okay, we're going to stop first trying and just leave God everything to really lead us. What would be the next step for our family?
Right. Yeah, so by the time that we're praying about it, I'm also searching, like what we have mentioned a while, like I'm searching through the internet, and then we came across your post in Instagram. So I showed to her, why don't you look at Ruhe Foundation? I guess they have, they're more of adoption. And think about it, I told her, my wife. So that's the time that we are praying and agreeing, maybe it's the time to adapt.
For me at that time, I didn't say yes right away, because although I'm open to adoption, I was thinking, is this really the time that you want us to adopt? Because we've always been open to the concept of it. It's just on the timing. And then I remember what God told me, that you're going to parent for a purpose. Yeah. And then I said, I want to hear from you, God. I want to hear straight from you. Not just because my husband told me. And then that time I was teaching in kids church. And then that week I was assigned. And then the teacher's devotion is about Moses. It's about Moses being adopted by the princess, the Egyptian princess. And something just resonated in my heart. And it's like God was asking me, if this Egyptian princess, who's not a believer, said yes to adopt a baby whom she just saw at that time, why would you say no to adopt at this time? So that was really eye-opening for me. And so that night, we agreed that, okay, we're going to say yes and pursue adoption.
By the time that we said yes, we immediately consulted you guys. And how, because we don't have any idea since we were abroad. And it's also, it's our first time to, you know, God has opened our mind, our heart for adoption. We had a meeting with you. Remember that time. And since we don't know where to start, how to start, And you guys did a great help. You were able to connect it to one agency. And eventually, that's the start of our journey of adoption.
That's really beautiful. Just to hear how it was like baby steps into it. Sometimes we feel like it's like a big leap. But actually, for you guys, it was baby steps. And I'm actually really curious about something you both said, that you actually, when you were single, even before you got married, there was a little bit of an openness already to adoption.
Yes.
How did that come about? Because that's not something that's not always true for single people. They're the typical narrative for a family, right? You get married and then maybe you have biological children. But was it that you actually were envisioning maybe adopting?
Yeah, personally, in my case, because we love kids. I'm a kids teacher. Yeah. And so I've seen that a lot of children, of course, needed a home. And we have also in my family, my cousin, one of my cousins, she's adopted. So
okay.
I see the beauty of that. That's why when we were engaged, I just glimpsed of it, Hannah. Maybe in the future we want to adapt.
Yeah.
By the time that God has opened that opportunity, so we took a leap of faith when we found out that you guys are doing this adoption thing and you are even connected to an agency. We were so excited at that time to start our adoption already. So
for me, it's more of because I really love kids and I feel like there's something more that I could do. Right. For other children who don't have their families. Because I grew up in a family and I was thinking, I cannot imagine growing up and you don't have a family to call. So I wanted to extend that to other kids who don't have it.
Wow, that's really powerful. Mm. So that's what started you on the journey of exploring it. And you mentioned that actually you worked with an agency here in the Philippines. Yeah. We're really close to them, KBF, that helped you actually process that.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about the experience? Because we actually hear from OFWs all the time where they, you know, they ask us, you know, how do we do it? What's it like if, you know, we wanted to adopt, but we're currently not in the Philippines yet. If you can share with us, what are the experiences from having to start the process outside of the Philippines?
Yeah. For us, because it was done during the pandemic, so everything is online. So we process everything online. We just get the list of the requirements that we need to comply with. And then got it online and then courier it here in the Philippines.
Yeah, and you just mailed everything.
Yeah, and we mailed everything. And with our social worker, we talked to her through emails.
Okay.
Yeah.
And virtual.
Through Zoom.
Everything is online. So it's actually KBF who responded to our email. And so from that, a social worker sent an email listing all the requirements on what to do, what is the first step to do. And so basically, we just comply all the requirements and go here, just like what Crystal said. And then we immediately had a meeting with the social worker through a virtual meeting.
Yeah.
And so
pretty much everything, email, Zoom, and then mailing the documents over and all of that, the interview process happening online. And then the exciting part is matching.
Yes.
So typically the matching happens and then you're presented with a case, you know, the file of a child. For you guys, you actually saw your son's file like online, like it was like sent to you. What was the experience like when you, you know, got that and finally knew, had a face, the child that was waiting for you?
Actually, we had a story on that because I'm celebrating my 36th birthday that time. It was July 27th. And then I'm kind of sad. Oh, we're not yet matched. June 27th. We're not yet.
She was so excited. She forgot her birthday.
So June 27th, we're not yet matched. And really, you know, I was really... We're really praying to God for that. Not knowing we got matched the next day, 28. Yeah,
that was a surprise one.
Yeah, that's God had a surprise for us. So that was, but we came to know about it July 1st when we received the email and the file. And we were actually surprised because the social worker says you don't get to see the picture until you say yes. But on the file, there was a picture
attached.
So it's like, you know, oh, this is our child. It's like we wanna book the next ticket and go back
and fly home as fast as possible.
Yeah, and it's like all the waiting, because we waited for a long time, and there were like six matching conferences that we didn't get match, and it's like sometimes it's frustrating. Oh, because you're always excited. We always know the
hopeful
dates. Yeah, of matching dates, and then at the end of the day, our social worker didn't get match. Okay, and then next month
then
again.
Wait again.
Then there's waiting and there's longing. Yeah. Waiting and the longing. But when we saw him, it's like everything was, it's worth it.
Yeah. Wow. So it was 6 matching conferences before you actually got matched. So 6 months is just waiting every month to see if there would be a match.
Yeah.
There would be a match. And finally, your 36th birthday gift,
yes.
The latest birthday gift from God,
was
a match. And you see his photo.
Yeah.
And you said you just knew he was your son.
Yes. And for me and Neil, we said that God will choose for us.
Right.
So we said that the first match, we will always say yes.
Right.
The first match.
So it wasn't like you were waiting to see a file to see, you know, will we say yes or no? It was really, I just want to know what my child looks like. I just want to know their name. I just want to know them.
So that profile just gave a name and a face to what we have already been praying for in our hearts. We know this is ours.
I'm sure it's like, it's overwhelming joy, right?
Yeah.
To see a face. It's a very emotional process of knowing that. Especially for both of you, I can imagine it to be very emotional and very difficult to be so far. That happened, the match. You finally know who your son is, and yet you actually couldn't be together right away.
Yeah.
Can you share with us that agonizing time of waiting and having to deal with the pandemic and the lockdowns? I know it was a really hard journey for you as a couple, trying to get to Manila to actually see him.
I remember the time that we immediately called our parents. That finally, we're a parent.
Yeah.
So, by the time that we saw his file. Actually, at the time, we were wondering if we can already communicating with our social worker and with the agency, if they can wait for like 2 or 3 months because we had to book our flight because of this.
And there was a
lot of restrictions going on during that time. And there was lockdown, right?
And a travel ban.
Yeah, travel
you guys
bands.
Were employed at this time, right? Like you guys were working full-time jobs in
We were working full-time.
Secular jobs. Yeah.
So I had to, you know, I mean, I'm thinking of if I could resign right now and go back to the Philippines right now, because that time we were also planning for our School of World Missions. So actually, that time we are asking from the agency if they could have, we can meet him through virtual, like through Zoom.
A Zoom meeting.
So
they agreed.
They agreed with that.
The Children's Home was open to having you like do Zoom meetings with him.
Yes.
Wow.
So what we did is we scheduled twice a week meetings with him.
Yeah.
So we get to play with him. We get to know him more online. So we read stories and we share movies with him and we would watch together through Zoom.
Wow, so, that's so creative.
That's our first bonding. So it's possible during the pandemic.
Wow, that's really amazing because you took on the mantle of parenting as soon as you were matched.
Yeah.
It was like, it was as if the minute you guys got matched, you saw his face, you said, he is my son.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are limitations right now legally. And then because of the pandemic, the lockdown, yet that didn't stop you from finding ways to parent him, to be present in his life, to build with him and to care for him, even from a distance.
And we even actually celebrated his third birthday online. So we just sent a cake and a present, a birthday gift. So everything through online.
How old was he at that time?
When we get matched, he was 2 years, 11
months.
And then he's like, after a month, because his birthday is July.
Okay.
So we got matched June. So he's turning.
You were able to celebrate his third birthday.
Yes.
Wow. That's really amazing. Okay. And so, you know, this twice a week Zoom dates with your son went on for how long until you were able to actually finally make it back to Manila?
I think it's 4 months, right?
It's 4 months, yes. Because we booked like September and then it gets canceled.
Our flights was canceled three times.
Oh,
right.
So
that's so frustrating.
Again, extended for a month. And we asked again the agency if we could again extend us for another month and see him through Zoom again. And so finally, we get a flight October. And so eventually,
after the quarantine, we went straight to the children's home.
Wow.
And that was a very, very action-packed day because they don't want to release us without our swab test. And then the child caring agency says, so we have to be here by 5 and it's already 2 and we didn't get our
swab
test.
Result,
and it would take like 2 hours for us to reach the children's home. So please wait for us. So we're going to knock on your door even if you're close already. But thank God, they were very gracious. We made it 5:10.
Wow. And they waited.
They waited.
I mean, you guys had waited for that moment for so long. So I think 10 minutes is just a short amount of time.
Shocking, sad, revealing, and deeply researched, PH Murder Stories podcast covers the true account of infamous killings and true crime stories from the Philippines. You can check out our podcast on Spotify, Apple, or any of your preferred podcast platforms. We publish new episodes every second and fourth Saturday of the month.
Like most people, we get fascinated by how the mind of a killer works, why a particular person got murdered, and when they will catch the suspect. Creators of PH Murder Stories take you through the most shocking and mysterious cases that occurred.
What was that moment like for you guys? Can you describe in words the feelings that come from actually being able to hold and embrace your son for the very first time?
Yeah. For us that time, of course, the overwhelming joy and excitement is there. It's like we're on our way. We're crying and said, can't believe we're parents and we're going to hold this child whom we have met online for months. Finally, he's here and we can bring him home. And then it's also more of the relief that finally you're home. Yeah. Finally, you're in a family. Finally, you can really, not just call us mom and dad, but we can hug you back.
Yeah,
because we used to give him virtual hugs, but this time it's going to be, real hugs.
Yeah.
So much joy and peace and relief.
I think that's a good word, relief.
Finally. Relief that finally.
Yeah. Actually, Toby all that time, he's kind of hesitant because he cried now. When
I think he got shocked.
Yeah, shocked when.
Because he used to see us from the computer screen and then suddenly it's like we came out on the computer screen. Something like that. So maybe he was not yet able to process that.
It was just a short program when we went there. So we are all full of joy and we just embrace our child. I mean, no words can describe that, embracing our child.
After the embrace, he's okay already. And he went with us.
It was a bit of an initial shock laugh.
Yeah, just an initial. I think which is normal because he's just,
of course, three, and
he cannot process that yet. But when he realized it's us and he hugged us and then he went with us and when we're going home.
Was there an adjustment period? So Tovail's now how old?
He's turning four next week.
Next week.
He's turning
four. Toddlers are sometimes pretty independent already. He was like three when you found out that he was your son, and it's coming to a year now of him adjusting to family life. What's it been like taking home a three-year-old?
It's fun, and at the same time, there's this a lot of things that we're not yet sure of what he likes. Of course, there's a profile, but it's every day of discovering him, what he likes, what he doesn't like, what makes him, excited, what are the things that he's interested with. It's discovering him every day. And for us, it's also discovering who we are as parents. So we're also, we're not like this before, but we can adjust with this one.
Yeah.
It's because, it's different when God stretches you as a parent.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
And aside from that, actually, but Crystal, I was thinking that Crystal was already a pediatric nurse. So we get a little bit of experience on how to take care of
the toddlers.
But it's kind of different. Of course, if you have your own child. In our case, we are adjusting every day during the time. I still remember the first week, we kind of like what to do, especially when he cries. So all the things that he wants, because they have given us the profile of his routine. So we kind of follow that. Do we need to follow this? Do we need to do this? And things like that. And it's fun. And actually, it's really exciting in our part. to do that.
Right? Have there been any challenges that come from, typically families will say, oh, we want to adopt a baby. You know, I'm not sure if adopting a toddler sounds hard. Have you found that there are some challenges as new parents taking home a toddler that you've encountered?
But for us, because we're used to toddlers in our home. Yeah. Because I used to teach toddlers before we come here. So
You're actually very comfortable with a toddler.
And then when we go to the school, I realize that God really knows, you know, our need at that time as well. Because if we're bringing home an infant, maybe it will be very difficult to also, you know, do other things. But of course, it's really trusting God to really answer what you need at that time for you as a parent. Because there's both joy in raising infants and then toddlers as well.
Any things that you didn't expect? Anything that has happened in the last? Because sometimes it's hard to believe, right? When you talk to someone, an adoption advocate, they only tell you the good stuff. Mm-hmm. They don't tell you.
Yeah.
Have there been any challenges that you guys have faced and overcome over the last year or so?
I think when it comes to when he's sleeping at night, that's a little challenging because at the middle of the night, he would cry, which is also in his profile. So that's the challenge, that how do we calm him and make him feel love even in the middle of the night? Actually, we're not sure if he's having bad dreams or he's remembering anything from before. We're not really sure. But what we do in that time is that just hug him and just make him feel, oh, you're not alone. We're here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those one thing. Another thing is, of course, there are challenges when it comes to eating habits.
Yeah.
Those things, adjusting. Because he's used to routine in the children's home. So in our case, we have our own routine. Like, I have to wake up at this time. We have to eat at this time. So we kind of like adjust at that particular period.
Yeah.
So from his part, there are times that he would not like to eat or would like to play at a particular time. But of course, from time to time, we remind him of these things. And in our part also, we are, he doesn't like this kind of food, or maybe he wants to play at this time. So those things are challenges that we have to face. But we were able to overcome it maybe after a month or two months of adjusting, of getting to know him.
Once we get to know him, and then we were able to create the dynamics of a family.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like you have to start over, right?
Yes,
you see that even if the child you take home is 3 years old, they're one day old in your family. Right?
Yes.
Like, so they're one day old as a member of your family, and you have to be ready and prepared and willing to build with them, to start from scratch,
teach them
as if, you know, it's their first day, as if part of them is an infant in your home.
Yes, yes.
Right? Yeah. And I guess that's why, you know, you guys talk about adjusting, because that's really a part of the journey.
Yes, there is.
You have to go through that. Any things that you guys have discovered about adoption or you believed were true before, like Mythbusters type, right? Things you thought were true for adoption, or concerns you might have had, fears you might have had, but moving into it now and when you're into being parents, you realize, oh, that was silly, or oh, that actually wasn't true, or that wasn't, you know, that wasn't something I should have been afraid of. It actually wasn't a concern. Anything like that?
Yeah, I think one thing would be legal adoption, because there's a misconception of having a legal adoption would be very difficult or very hard for some, maybe here in the Philippines, right? Because the process, it's a fact that you have to comply with a lot of documents, those things. It's a tedious process, actually. But if you know the purpose of why you're adapting, considering that, looking into that, you will be really motivated to pursue adoption. Just complying all the requirements, submitting in a legal way. It should be in a legal way, because that will benefit us, the parents, and the child as well.
Right.
So, and looking back, wow, it's really a wonderful journey. It's actually you don't need to not to comply with that, because you really have to undergo with that. And it's a beautiful thing when everything will be finished. So it's a relief, actually, when you had
a
child. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. As for me, I think that, of course, as a parent, you also have this fear because of the movies, the things that we get to see, right? Social media.
Yep.
Now, what if my child will be bullied because he or she, he is adopted?
Right.
But with what we have seen, I think with our family and friends, because we have an open adoption, we talk about it. When you normalize it, and when you portray adoption something beautiful. People get that notion also that they will celebrate with you.
Right.
And we've seen how people celebrate Toviel, even for those people who have just met him. And then when we get questions, where did you deliver him like this? So when we say, yeah, he's adopted. And then it's like, there are many people who have not met parents who adopted.
Wow.
It's like an eye-opening for them that, oh, this is not like the movies. You guys look like normal, you know, just a usual
normal family.
Yeah, normal family. Toviel even looks like Neil. So it's like,
he really does.
You know, it's that. And people get to celebrate him. Nobody said, you know, anything about him. And I believe that for Toviel also, because we will also tell him about adoption. So it's really know that even whenever we talk about it, he knows that it's something that, you know, he should not be ashamed of. That he will be grateful for and celebrate it.
Right. That's great. On that note, in closing, I just wanted to ask you guys one more question. We met with some potential adoptive parents just this week. And the question that I'll have is, you know, like, what advice do you have for me as they start this journey? Or some of them are actually still on the fence, undecided. Think it's a nice idea, but not really sure, especially those who might even be overseas, just like both of you, and thinking the trouble, the hassle. I'm not sure if I want to go through that. Do you have any advice, any tips for them as they consider adoption and as they, you know, some of them start that journey of pursuing it?
For me, what I could say is that from the things that we learned also from adoption, because we've shelved the idea for a long time.
Right.
And now seeing how beautiful adoption is, there are times I would say, I wish we didn't shelve that idea for so long. I wish we could have said yes to adoption early on, because, you know, seeing how God transforms a life through adoption, the beauty of it, and even transform the lives of those around it when people get to be aware of how beautiful it is. And my advice is, don't take so long in waiting. Just say yes, because it's something that, you know, God will walk you through it. And we pray that for those who are contemplating, thinking about it, I pray that the Lord will breathe courage into your heart. Take a leap of faith, because as you wait, a child is also waiting for you, hoping that one day, you know, you would walk through that door and bring them home. And the beauty of having one less orphan every day in the child caring agencies, that because they have been welcomed to a family.
Yeah, so I think one practical way is that you just have to comply with all the requirements in a legal way. Just submit all the requirements. They have listed all this, then submit all. That's it. You have to wait. The beauty of waiting is that you get to realize that by the time that you meet your child or your son or your daughter, that's going to be a big, big relief for you. And of course, that's maybe one of the happiest moments for you. You've waited for so long and you complied all the requirements you're just given. Just wait for. Waiting is something really, really have to persevere and to do that. That's it.
Just say yes. And do it.
And do it. Yeah. It's a leap of faith, actually.
Great advice. Really great advice. Thanks. I think it's pretty resounding that really it's this need to just say yes. Don't overthink it. And this feeling of, I wish I did it sooner.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that those who are listening to the podcast, let's not let that be you. If you want to start your adoption journey, you can reach out to us at Ruhi Foundation and we'll be happy to walk you through that. But Neil, I want to thank you also for your encouragement around waiting.
Yeah.
I think that the wait is something that really scares people. And you have really a nice perspective on waiting and how it can be a beautiful process. And hearing about the wait that you guys have had to go through all the way from the UAE to getting you to the Philippines and the lockdown and the pandemic and, you know, quarantining, or just to be able to hold your son in your arms. And now the wait actually continues as you just wait for the finalization and all of that. But you guys have a beautiful outlook on that. And it just shows how you really see that whatever the cost, it's worth it.
It's worth it.
Yeah, whatever the weight, you know, whatever it is that you've had to endure as parents, it's worth it because you get to parent this wonderful boy. And so blessed to hear your story. Thank you so much for agreeing to share that on our podcast.
Yeah. Thank you, Karina, for giving us an opportunity to share our adoption story. And we hope it would inspire others as well.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That was the Family is the Answer podcast by Rohe Foundation and powered by Podcast Network Asia. If you're interested to know more about adoption and foster care, visit our website at rohefoundation.org, where you can find articles, videos, and other resources. You can also find us on social media. We're Rohe Foundation on Instagram and Facebook. Again, thanks for listening, and I hope to catch you at our next episode.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.